Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the winter, and it's been, I believe, 147 days since I was last up here doing this, and a ton has happened during that time. And I'll be able to update you on a lot of those. I got to keep some of it quiet for a little longer, but I'll be able to update you on a lot of that. But one thing that has happened because of events like this, and it's absolutely essential to this project, is investment has been phenomenal. Actually, it was last time I was up here, 147 days ago, I mentioned that at 8 a.m. the following morning, I had an investment pitch with three individuals who had the capability of writing a pretty significant check if they liked what I had to say. And what I was able to tell them, and I said this back last time I was here, was we budgeted last time for about 50, 60 people and maybe a couple media members to come out to this last one. And there were over 120 and four or five media outlets. And I got to lead with that in my investor pitch with those three individuals the following morning. And I will say, they wrote a check pretty quickly. So all the questions, all the feedback, all the support, just showing up, all of that helps, but I promise you, I am using this in every investor pitch that I take. The support for professional soccer in Buffalo is proven in rooms like this. So I really want to thank everybody for supporting us, for coming out, for taking the time, and let's have a good night here at the Banshee, because this bar is unbelievable, and they've been so accommodating to us and so helpful. So one of the main things. The recent developments has been our survey that we put out. First of all, has anybody in the room not taken the survey yet? If so, there's QR codes, I believe, on every table. Please scan the QR code. I'm not gonna deceive anybody. There's a lot of questions. It's a in-depth survey. So it's gonna take you a little bit of time, but I promise the reason it is so in-depth and the reason it is so important is every decision that we make around the stadium, around the team branding, around our function as a business, is going to be seriously informed by the results of this survey and the comments that I hear at town halls and stuff like this. So please, well, first of all, if you have taken it, thank you. I've got some preliminary results that I'll be sharing. If you haven't, please do, and please spread the word. Tell your friends too. Even if they are not soccer fans, or even if they don't think they are particularly interested in this project, if they're from Buffalo, if they're from Western New York, their feedback matters. If they don't think they're interested, I want to learn why on the survey so we can maybe try to accommodate people who think that way. So thank you, those who have taken the survey. Those that haven't, please do, and thank you in advance, and please share this link. It'll be open until midnight next Tuesday, so we've got a few more days to knock this out. I don't know if I mentioned, but we're up over 1,100 respondents so far, which is a great number. But obviously, the more we get in, the more representative of this community, this data that we are going to base all of our decisions on, or most of them, is going to be. So it's really important that we get as many responses as possible. So Martin Group preparation here, because there was no way I was going to remember everything. Just some quick, you know, these are preliminary. We still have 5 more days in the survey. But again, more than 1,100 respondents so far. Half of them come from Erie County, but outside of the city of Buffalo, which to me is really important and is really representative of this area as a sports town. It's been pretty apparent for a long time now, and we haven't shied away from it in the media, that my preference and my belief is that the stadium needs to be in the city of Buffalo. And I'll tell you, the preliminary survey responses only reinforce that feeling. But the fact that we've been so public about that, yet still over half of the respondents are from Erie County but outside of the city, shows that there's going to be support, and in my opinion, traveling support, if you will. This is my favorite. The top 3 factors that would make people a fan. So number 1, and this is my absolute favorite, and it's the reason we do these town halls, and it's the reason we do the survey. A club culture that aligns with the city's identity is the number 1 from all our responses. And I'm personally absolutely thrilled with that, because that's the goal. That is the purpose. Our motto is built by Buffalo for Buffalo. So clearly, we're not the only ones who think that way. Number 2 is atmosphere in the stadium. I've lived and been to games and worked at stadiums and worked for teams all over the world, and all over the country. And I will say, in professional soccer, more than any other sport that I've ever been a part of or ever seen, in-stadium atmosphere matters. It matters for the fan experience, of course, but it, more than any other sport, and I played at the college and professional level, I've experienced this personally. When you are on the field and the crowd is with you, I promise you, it feels sometimes like they're carrying you through injury time, or, you know, sucking the ball into the opponent's goal. The atmosphere in the stadium, in a sport like soccer, where you just absolutely kill yourself and exhaust yourself for 90 plus minutes, you need that. That is absolutely essential. So obviously, we know that Buffalo's got great fans, but the fact that the number two reason why somebody would support this team is the atmosphere in the stadium, I absolutely love that. And number 3, equally important, is on-pitch success and competing for championships. And For those who don't know my background, I ran the USL League One club in Omaha, Nebraska for the previous three seasons. And in that time, we won two championships. We beat two MLS clubs in Open Cup. Every year we played in the Open Cup, we were the furthest advancing third division club in the country. We actually never lost an Open Cup to a team outside of Major League Soccer. John Duran, I don't know, this is getting, you know, pretty deep into it, but the goal scorer in the Champions League yesterday for Aston Villa to win the game against Bayern Munich, a guy named John Duran, who came from Chicago Fire and MLS. When we played them at Soldier Field 2 years ago in the Open Cup, John Duran was on that team, and he himself was earning 10x my entire budget, that single player on the team. He just scored a game-winning goal in the Champions League against one of the most famous clubs in the world. We beat him. We beat that team. We had players on that team making $30,000 a year, shutting him down. And there are players making $30 million a year who struggle to do that today. I'm not saying he's the same player today that he was 3 years ago, but just to speak to the opportunity that soccer in this country presents. The Open Cup is, in our region, we're going to get the opportunity to bring MLS clubs to Buffalo and to go to MLS markets and play against them. And there is serious precedence for USL clubs beating them. That year that we went to the quarterfinals in 2022, Sacramento Republic of USL Championship went to the final, beat three or four MLS clubs on their way. We built that team in Omaha. The 2 years that we won the league, the first year, we had the lowest salary budget in the league. The second year, we had the third lowest salary budget in the league. I will tell you right now, from a business model, we are not planning on having the lowest salary budget in USL Championship. But we're gonna make that money work. So, success on the field, obviously. I just went on a 5-minute rant about it. I'm not gonna swear yet, I'll get there, but it matters to me. So, most important stadium amenities. Call it out, actually. Who wants to guess number one?
Supporter section.
Supporter section is on the list. It's not number one, but I like it. Anything else? What do diehard Buffalo fans care about in their state?
Tailgating
is not on the list, not on the top five. All right, so ready for number one from our battle-hardened city? Ample high-quality restrooms. That is the number one. Yeah. That was important. We're going to have them, but I was not expecting that to be number one, truthfully. The ones that I was expecting to see more, local food and beverage offerings. That's going to be really important. And we've already had, you know, it's preliminary at this point, but we've already had some conversations with some local restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, who are very interested in being in the stadium. And what's nice about the USL level is we can get pretty flexible with that, and we can make that happen in a lot of different ways and provide a lot of different variety. Shaded covered seating. For those that don't know, the USL season runs from March through November. So in the summer, we're going to want some shaded seating, and then in the fall and early spring, we're going to want some covered seating. So that has been in the budget since day one. Our architects have known about that. And that is absolutely part of the plan, and this only reinforces it. Another couple that are huge for my purposes, raising investment and negotiating with people who can help us get this stadium built. Virtually everyone, and I don't have an exact percentage, who responded to the survey said that they would be interested in purchasing tickets to home matches. 63% said that they were interested in purchasing season tickets. So we are going to have to determine what the appropriate number of season tickets to offer is. But a 63% clip, I will say, would be very high in USL Championship and would give us a good, steady
consistent income stream, revenue stream, that would allow us to do a lot more in the stadium and allow those stakeholders in the stadium a lot of confidence that it will be full and they'll get their money's worth there. So, you know, that's a very small sampling. Those who have taken it know that the survey, you know, is 80 plus questions. So there's a lot more. But until we've gotten it all, I don't want to share too much until it's finalized. But once it is finalized, we will share it. And every single thing that goes into it. You know, I'm from Buffalo. I grew up here. I've been going to Bills and Sabres games my whole life. I went to Blizzards games when that was an option. FC Buffalo games. Played for FC Buffalo briefly. I feel that I am very representative of Buffalo sports fans. But that doesn't mean that what I want in the stadium and what I want in the club are what everybody wants. So we needed to put quantitative data behind all these pretty safe assumptions that we've had. And that's what the survey has done. And it's going to allow us to make informed decisions to build a stadium and build a club and build a culture that represents all of you. So I try not to speak for this long at one time during these, but wanted to get through those and had to rant about shutting down John Duran at Soldier Field. So at this point, I know we've got some questions from Twitter that we can kick it off with, but does anybody have any initial questions, comments, anything before we go to the socials? What do we got, Kate?
Where is Buffalo Pro Soccer financially? Has there been progress in finding a minority owner?
Yes, so I can't legally give an exact number. But we are now into the millions in capital raised, and the principal owner conversations are going very well. They are all pretty stadium contingent, and the stadium is advancing quickly. So I am highly optimistic that we will have our principal owner and stadium location locked in right on schedule, which is we are right on schedule. And for those that don't know, right on schedule realistically means we need to know where we're gonna be playing. If we're gonna play in March of 2026, we need to know where that's gonna be Q1 of next year at the latest. And I will tell you, I'm expecting that. I'm expecting it before that.
Go back to it.
Somebody wants to know when will you start soliciting feedback for names and crest and color? This person is pretty insistent that you may not use FC and you must use SC.
Have they specified soccer club or sporting club or social club?
You can get back to them later.
Okay.
Mr. Potato.
You know, I've seen his comments. Actually, he seems to be a pretty informed individual. So part of the survey, although maybe he hasn't filled out the survey, so DM him, because part of the survey, those that have filled it out will know, is naming structure. Are you in favor of the, what I believe we're calling on the survey, traditional soccer naming structure, as in blank United or blank football club or blank city or whatever it may be? Or do you prefer the more Americanized model being Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Sabres, Vancouver Whitecaps, whatever, you know, you all know the formatting. I actually don't have the report on that yet. I don't know what the results are saying on that one. I have my personal preference, but that's not going to be determining anything. So we can tell Mr. Potato, we can tell him or her to fill out the survey. We're working on it. How about in here? Let's just take a straw poll here. Who likes the traditional naming structure? Okay. We're gonna need to do it because I don't need to make everyone turn around. Let's hear an applause for a traditional naming structure. Okay. And now we'll call it Americanized naming structure. All right. We even got some vocals on that one. So that's in this room. We know where the results are. But please, if you haven't filled out the survey, do. Before we go back to the socials, put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you, you're talking an international or something team?
Like a non-conference.
Yeah. So there are some Canadian Premier League teams not too far from here that I am starting to get to know pretty well, and a cross-border, you know, regular competition would be just fun, would be cool. Also, in my time at Omaha, I got to know a lot of agents and people who schedule the international tours for major European, Mexican, South American clubs. And really, I've got some contacts directly at those clubs. But typically, you go through an agent, one of these people who represents them, who is setting their tour, and you negotiate an appearance fee. But that is absolutely right now, Buffalo cannot do that. Even if Manchester United wanted to play Real Madrid in Buffalo, it cannot happen in Buffalo right now. We, with this size stadium, are going to be able to do stuff like that. I'll say I believe I said this at a previous town hall, but West Ham had a spot on their tour this past summer fall through, and the agent who set that up is a friend of mine, and he called me and asked if I could find him a ground in Buffalo, a stadium in Buffalo to play at. The answer was no, we do not have one available to you. Call me back in a year and we will. And then I ended up sending them to Omaha, and they ended up telling Omaha we weren't coming. So I don't blame them. Buffalo's a little more attractive than Omaha, Nebraska. So I'm glad we got that on camera for the fans back in Omaha. Yeah. We are budgeting in our pro forma, in all of our numbers, we're anticipating major international friendly at least one per year. And maybe that is probably the Buffalo team against somebody from abroad. But we're also going to have the opportunity to host two teams from abroad, two big teams. We're building a stadium that is going to meet those requirements. And that's one of my favorite things about what we're doing right now. You'd be surprised how motivated these biggest clubs in the world, biggest clubs on their continent, are to get to new markets. There's just so much money available to them if they can get here the right way. So we're going to be able to get them. Yeah?
On the survey, there are a lot of questions about hosting women's matches at the stadium. What kind of women's match were you referencing? Like possibly NWSL?
NWSL is not the league that we are. So as part of our agreement with USL, we have the exclusive rights to a USL Super League club. Super League is the newly formed, started in August, Division I professional women's league here in the U.S., and their opening weekend numbers were phenomenal in every city, and they've kept up pretty well. So we do have the rights to Division I women's professional soccer, to have a club here in Buffalo if we can exercise that option and make it work, and we are trying to. I promise you that. San Antonio FC, it was a USL championship club. Their stadium, it's spectacular. I've been to it. I love this stadium. But it's about a 12,000 capacity stadium, a little south of that. They hosted a U.S. men's national team friendly there less than a year ago, recently enough. I see no reason why, if we build the right stadium, we're not in the conversation for some women's national team games, some men's national team games. You know, they typically go to MLS stadiums, football stadiums, something like that. But there's precedence now. They went to San Antonio because San Antonio is a cool stadium. It's a city that they value, and they get the right atmosphere. So we're going to be competing for stuff like that. Yeah.
What do you envisage the fan experience to be like? Sort of walking up to the stadium, spending time around the stadium either before and after, with either local vendors or sort of small organizations.
Yeah, thank you. I'm gonna start repeating the questions now because people may not be able to hear them from everywhere. So the question was surrounding fan experience. What do we anticipate the fan experience will be outside of the stadium, walking up to the stadium, leaving the stadium, I assume in the stadium as well, but the overall fan experience, the entire start to finish fan experience, not just during the 90 minutes where we're playing. I've got some... Almost swore again. It's coming, but I won't yet. I've got some amazing renderings from my architects at Wendell that plans that focus on outside of immediately surrounding the stadium fan experience. One thing that both of our finalist venues, our finalist sites have that has been absolutely essential in every site that we've assessed is there needs to be walkability to bars, restaurants, entertainment options around the stadium that already exist, that are already there. The Bills have an incredible tailgating culture out in Orchard Park, but we'll have tailgating. There are parking lots around where we are, but that's not the stadium model that we're going for. We're going to be an urban stadium, and our goal and our expectation is that we will uplift the community, the neighborhoods that we are in, and the businesses that surround us, and hopefully encourage others to invest around there in restaurants and bars and entertainment options. So a big part of our stadium designs at both of our sites is connectivity to the surrounding neighborhood. In one in particular, where we have a greenway, a tree-lined greenway connecting us to another. I can't give too many details because it's going to become obvious what I'm talking about. But the entire fan experience is something we've been thinking about since day one, and something that I've tasked my architects and my designers with focusing on from the moment I hired them. I want these games, I want those that want to drive in and take their family to the game and be at the stadium for, you're going to be there for 2 hours and you're going to leave. It's not a long event. I want those who want that experience to be able to have it easily. But what I would love is people to go to bars and restaurants before the game, meet in the parking lot and tailgate before the game, and then when they leave the stadium, go to bars and restaurants together. I want this to be a complete social experience in Buffalo, not just a professional sporting event. Yeah?
What capacity are you shooting for, and will the stadium be expandable?
Yeah, so right now, the survey results will impact this as well, but we've been planning for a capacity of roughly 10,000, depending on the site and depending on some survey results. But it will be around that number, around 10,000 capacity. That's not necessarily seated because somebody mentioned supporter sections and safe standing sections. So it won't be necessary. If the number's 10,000, it's not going to be 10,000 seats. It might be 8,500 seats, 8,000 seats, and then standing room. Safe standing sections, but that is where we are benchmarking right now. And then the sites themselves and the survey results may alter that slightly in either direction. Another thing that I have tasked my architect with is planning for expansion of this stadium. Even if it's 10,000, even if it's 11,000, in my opinion, and the proof is across the country, that's a great size, but Buffalo can support more than that. So, you know, we don't need to start at 15,000. We don't need to start at 17, whatever it may be. But in everything that they're doing from a planning perspective, the architects know we think we'll get there soon enough. We just need to prove the concept. So expandable, yes. Yeah?
How many other teams are kind of vying to get into the championship right now? On the website, there's four other teams. Yeah. Buffalo's not listed, but are there other teams that are kind of in the 2026 startup?
Yeah, so Brooklyn is coming next year to championship. That'll take the league to 25. Jacksonville, Milwaukee, New Orleans are three markets that are at basically the same stage that we're at, or similar stage to where we're at, and planning a 26 or 27 entry. I don't know, or I won't say the specific details of other projects. There is also Lexington, which is currently a USL League One club. They just built a spectacular modular stadium in Lexington, Kentucky. It's an 8,500 capacity, cantilevered roof, suites, spectacular modular stadium. If we could pick it up and put it at our site, I would be thrilled. You know, maybe we had 1,500 capacity to it, but it is awesome. Lexington, with that stadium, has announced that they'll be moving up to championship next year, which is cool. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think the follow-up was, what would be the closest team to us? Would it be Detroit, or would there be another team?
Well, I mean, so we are actually, and this is getting in a little bit, so I'll get there. So Omaha, the club that I'm coming from, has signed an LOI on a piece of land downtown, and I was there for 3 years, and probably the first day I got there, we started working on this stadium. And they're still securing their funding, but they're planning on building a $60 million stadium there, part of a greater downtown development. And along with that, they would be moving up to championship. That's part. I hope I'm not leaking any inside info. I don't think I am. I think that's public on Omaha's side. But that's another future championship market, assuming they can secure the rest of their funding, which I'm pretty confident they will. Closest to us, we are in, from a financial standpoint, from an expense management standpoint, we're in as good of a location as you can get. So in Omaha, we were surrounded by nothing but land. There was not a team in League One within hundreds and hundreds of miles of us. Madison, Wisconsin was the closest, and that was an 8-hour plus drive. Bus drive. So we were flying 23 to 25 people across the country every week. That was our biggest expense item. In our budget, our biggest expense item was team travel. Here in Buffalo, we have got Detroit within 400 miles. We have got Providence, Rhode Island within 400 miles. We've got Hartford, Connecticut within 400 miles. We've got Pittsburgh within 400 miles. And then Brooklyn coming next year, just about 400 miles. So having those five clubs nearby, and this isn't something that you all have to worry about, but this is something I really have to worry about. That is going to keep our expenses down so significantly compared to other locations that we could be in. And it is way down the list of reasons why USL likes Buffalo as a market, but it's a reason. It's important. The sustainability of these businesses is critical to USL when they're picking which markets to expand to, and being able to keep expenses down however you can contributes significantly to that sustainability. I know the owners and the front office staff and the presidents at all of those clubs that I just mentioned. But people from Buffalo who are, whether it was Queen City FC, Buffalo City FC, FC Buffalo fans from the MPSL days, will remember that Detroit City was a massive rival of, I used to play against them. We used to hate them. And they used to, in the MPSL days, fill that stadium. And now they are doing the same thing in Detroit. They have one of my favorite fan bases in American professional soccer. And their ownership group is thrilled at the prospect of Buffalo having a team to be a regional rival with them, because they know we have lunatic fans as well. And it will make for some really fun games. And Detroit, actually, so they renovated Keyworth Stadium, which is a old historic stadium, not exactly downtown, decent location. It's about an 8,000-seater. And they've been averaging in the past year about 85 to 90% to capacity in that stadium. They have proven their concept, and now they got a site and they got funding to build their own stadium in Detroit, and at the size that it should be. These markets nearby us, especially Detroit, are going to be really fun to compete with.
Are there any rumblings of resurrecting a Rochester franchise? Would that be a
natural? You know, I... thank you, Kate. Are there any rumblings of resurrecting a Rochester franchise? Rochester Rhinos were arguably, I guess, but maybe not arguably, the most successful club in the early days of USL. In 99, they won an Open Cup. They're the only non-MLS club since the MLS was founded to win a US Open Cup. It was a different time, different era of MLS, and I think there was a legitimate argument that they were actually the best professional soccer team in the country that year. But anyways, they won the Open Cup. They were averaging roughly 10,000 fans per game in their original stadium, and for various reasons took a nosedive in the later years. I cannot reveal too much league info here, but there is... Everybody knows it's a good soccer market. I don't know that it's a USL championship market, but there's USL League One. I would love professional soccer to be back in Rochester. It's a great market for it, and I hope that does happen. And until then, they can come over here and support us.
I still love Rochester soccer. Unfortunately, I think they made a very poor choice in their new stadium. I think it really brought them down.
So the comment is from a avid Rochester soccer fan that the stadium choice is what doomed them. 100% accurate. That's nobody who knows the inner workings of this business disagrees with that exact statement.
Politics were
involved. Exactly. Of course. I'm not criticizing anybody, but that's what that is. Among other things, but that was the main factor in the downfall of that team, as far as I've been told, and I've been told by pretty reliable people, and I've heard it from countless fans of that former club. That is why events like this, feedback in person like this, sending us emails at the info@buffaloprosoccer.com website, sending us DMs, but most importantly, taking the survey. That is why it is so important. We cannot get the stadium location wrong. That will kill this team before it even starts. We cannot get it wrong. I don't think we're going to, but the more data that we have to back up our decision, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah. Has there been any contact with any of the former players who played here, like from the Blizzard or the Stallions? And their excitement, or I know there's a lot of local guys who are from here. Has there been?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, there has been. It's great. It's been excellent. And former owners of those clubs have expressed some interest, and I can't reveal too much, but yes, absolutely. From not only the players, but former investors and owners in those franchises. Yeah?
Do USL championship matches have a typical match day and time, or is it kind of as it allows?
It's as it allows, but it's pretty much understood throughout the country that a Saturday at 7 p.m. is when you want to be playing. And that's another reason why having our own stadium is so essential. If you're a tenant in somebody else's stadium, they're filling the dates, and then we're filling whatever's left over. And that hurts. That hurts your attendance. It hurts your bottom line. It hurts your revenues. It hurts. So that is why this is, we have not been talking about being tenants of someone else's stadium at all. That's not part of the business plan. The stadium is the business, is part of the business plan. Saturdays at 7 p.m. do great. In Omaha yesterday, actually, they did something that I'm going to gauge the room, and I'm glad you prompted this question because it was one I was going to ask you all. So they did a kids' day. It's a typical minor league baseball event, outing, promotional day. They did a kids' day. It was a 1 p.m. game on a Wednesday, and they partnered with the local public school districts and got free tickets to the kids. They took a field trip. They spent the day, the afternoon at the game. I'll leave it at that before I gauge, because I've got my thoughts on it. It did not happen while I was calling the shots there, but they were pretty successful with it yesterday. There are 17 regular season home games in USL Championship, at least this year there are. Maybe it fluctuates to 18, but it's roughly 17. Would a Wednesday 1 p.m. game make any of you question whether or not you would get one of those 17 games being a weekday, middle of the day? Would that would you feel unfairly done as a season ticket holder if that happened?
No.
No?
You could do it on the early game, not Saturday or Sunday.
Well, but the problem with that is it doesn't allow the kids the school day, you know, the field trip and then the free tickets. We can provide free tickets, but it's different. I don't mind that. I don't mind any of it. I like it. But I will say I got some feedback from season ticket members, you know, longtime season ticket members at Union Omaha who called me or texted me and did have a problem with it. They thought it was great. You know, they thought it was great for the kids. They thought it was a good thing to do. But they only get 17 home games, and one of them they now cannot attend, and they paid for it. So they were some were frustrated by it. So I did want to, you know, this is unscientific right now, but I did want to gauge the room. So I heard nothing but a positive response. Anybody feel any differently? All right, so that's good to know. I'm not saying it's something we will do, but Omaha did that yesterday. They won the game 4-0. They went 6 points up at the top of the table with 4 games to play. Coaching staff I built, team that I built, just saying. I'm pretty excited about this this upcoming. I don't want to jinx them, but they probably got this one locked up. All right.
What percentage of the budget do you have allocated for travel? And if stadium attendance is lower than you expect, how much of a concern is that?
Travel is what it is. That's going to be immovable. You know, the budget that is set for travel, that's what it's going to cost. Right. So if our revenues are not up to where we expect them to be, we certainly can't save money on the travel. We can potentially cut down some other line items, some other expenses, but travel is not one of them. I would say having some expensive fixed expenses that we can't do anything about is a reality of the business, a difficult reality of the business. But in our budgeting and in our pro forma, we have been hyper conservative on our revenues. We are not assuming that we are going to out-earn everybody in the league. We're assuming we're going to do well in this market, but I think we have been hyper conservative in our budgeting, both on the expense side and the revenue side. I think our expenses will be a little lower than we're budgeting for, and I think our revenues will be a little higher, truthfully. It's all theoretical right now, but this is how we're doing it. Yes?
Is there revenue sharing with the ESPN deal, and how are the ratings?
So there is revenue sharing, but the truth is right now, I got to remember, Is there revenue sharing with the broadcast deal, with the ESPN deal? And I'll add to that the CBS and Paramount Plus deal, which is also a part of USL Broadcasting and streaming now. Is there revenue sharing with those? The answer is yes, but right now it is negligible to the individual teams. It's great. It's good for the league. But as part of my role at Union Omaha, was in the Board of Governors meetings for the past 3 years where decisions like that get signed off on and voted on and made. Everybody, that deal is up before the World Cup year. And it was a very intentional decision by everybody in that room and at league offices to get the league in front of as many eyes as possible right now in preparation for that next deal. So I do expect a more significant revenue share to come in the next deal in a couple years, the first deal that we will be a part of. Right now it's negligible. I don't even remember what we got for, you know, it's so insignificant that I don't even remember what it was at Union Omaha. One thing that's great about USL is the clubs have the rights to negotiate and sell and sign our own local and regional broadcast and streaming deals. And I did that in Omaha. I signed our first ever local regional broadcast and streaming deal. That, especially in a market like Buffalo, can be pretty lucrative for the teams. Sports are, first of all, it's evergreen content for these broadcasters and streamers. It is live content. It is the only unscripted content that exists in entertainment. So it is a very valuable product to our potential broadcast and streaming partners. And those of you with the cameras, tell the people making those decisions, we're looking for high bids in a year. Yeah?
So obviously I understand you guys don't want to put the cart before the horse, and that stadium as a whole is priority number one in making, you know, all of this happen. Is there any talk or plan of other type of events that would happen at said stadium just to kind of keep things happening?
Yeah. So that is not cart before the horse. That is absolutely essential in every stadium conversation we have. If this is a stadium that is used 20 times a year for men's professional soccer or 40 times a year for men's and women's professional soccer, absolute waste of everybody's money and time. I mean, it'd be fun, but absolute waste. He won't have a problem with me saying his name. Artie Kwichoff, who's the owner of Town Ballroom and does a lot of the booking for concerts throughout Buffalo, in the early stages of stadium design, we brought him in to meet with the architects. This is going to be a purpose-built professional soccer stadium, but we had him give exactly the requirements to host concerts and outdoor festivals at roughly the capacity that this will end up being. So the renderings and the design, the current design of the stadium, is intentionally designed with the input of an expert in doing that. So there's that. There's also, we've had great conversations with Buffalo Public Schools about hosting some important championship games, stuff like that. We've had conversations with, I probably can't say exactly who, but very important national and global lacrosse representatives. Buffalo's an awesome market for lacrosse. Western New York and Southern Ontario, amazing market for lacrosse. The premier PLL and International Lacrosse Federations look for roughly 10,000 seat venues. Buffalo's not getting that right now, but we are having conversations with all the people who do that about making this a site. Rugby, Major League Rugby looks for 8,500 seat stadiums for their franchises. I'm not saying I'm talking to them about starting a franchise, but I have talked to them about a franchise in Buffalo if this stadium exists, and I think it's a real possibility. Premier Sevens Rugby, which is the men's and women's professional rugby sevens league. They do a touring model. 10,000 seat stadium in Buffalo is absolutely perfect for that. We have had conversations with people who do outdoor rinks. So I actually fairly early on put together a year-round programming calendar with the input of all these different people and more. An outdoor venue in Buffalo, New York in January and February will be more limited than in other months, but it'll be activated still. So yes.
And with, you know, because lacrosse was the one sport that I kind of had in the back of my mind, so that's good to hear, especially with the PLL touring model and all that still, you know.
Exactly. No, lacrosse is, I can't reveal too much. Buffalo is an awesome market for professional lacrosse, except for the fact that it doesn't have a stadium to support it. So it's not a good market today for professional lacrosse. Yeah?
Have you decided the field will be grass or turf?
Yeah.
Can you say?
Yeah. So I will preface this by saying, as a former player and a soccer purist, I would like a grass field. As a person who needs to run a sustainable business, it cannot be a grass field in Buffalo, New York. If we are going to be hosting all of these events that we're talking about, we can't keep up a grass field at a professional standard. Now the USL and US Soccer Federation do have requirements on turf. It needs to be FIFA grade 2, which is exceptional quality. We can't do natural here. If we're gonna, you know, if we had more money to not worry about, maybe we could, but it just doesn't fit our current model. Yeah. Good question though, thank you. Yeah?
You've said this in other town halls, but for people that haven't heard it, your thoughts on promotion relegation, USL's thoughts, can you expand about what the future might look like for USL promotion relegation?
Yeah, I can. But I would like this answer to be taken as not a representative of USL, but somebody who is in the meetings. If I were betting on it, I would say that promotion and relegation is going to come to USL. The exact structure of it, I don't know. My guess is three professional divisions and promotion and relegation within those three. If I were betting on it, that's what I would expect to happen in the next 2 to 5 years, probably. And this is public information, so I'm revealing anything I can't. At the last Board of Governors meetings in Colorado Springs last summer, well, two summers ago, I guess, it was slated to be voted on at the Board of Governors meeting, and the league hadn't quite answered all the questions that the owners and members of the board needed answered, so that did not get voted on. It is, when I was negotiating our expansion agreement here in Buffalo, it was a very important topic of discussion. I think it will happen. Yeah.
So from like season ticket holders sort of generating revenue, have you looked at sort of also offering membership to fans? So even though it might not be a fan-owned club, at least fans have an option or an opportunity to become more part of the club and have a say in either how the club's run or how the games are structured.
Yeah, so yes, I expect us to have a season ticket membership model. And just to repeat the question, I kind of just did in that answer. But to repeat the question, it's will you be considering a model that is not just season ticket holders buying tickets, coming to games, but more of a membership model where those members might get access to certain events, might get access to private town halls with me or other executives at the club, might have a little more say, a little more input at least, than the average fan, I guess. And the answer is yes. I do expect us to have a season ticket membership program. I don't know exactly what that entails. Those ideas that I just threw out are pretty common throughout USL. We did them in Omaha. So yes, I think that is part of the plan. I think you asked a question about pricing. Sorry, I don't remember. What was it?
Well, so, you know, fans having a say on, you know, how much the price to get price.
Yes. Survey right now is the time to do. I mean, there will be future time to do it as well, but our initial pricing is going to get set based on these survey results. And part of the more tedious part of the survey is answering pricing scale questions, but it is going to influence and help us make our decisions on how we're pricing these tickets. So please answer those honestly. We will base our decisions on it. There was, yeah, you had one, right?
Well, mostly I was kind of about the promotion relegation, because I think it, as an owner, does it give you concern as you're coming in, you want to start a new team, and they might have this relegation, or does it give you excitement that every game will matter, every, you know, news fans, no matter how bad the team is, you know, it won't be, but, you know, if there is a rough stretch, you know, people want to be there to make sure they're not being relegated, does that give you excitement that there'll be at least hopefully energy? Or
me personally, it gives me excitement personally. I'm a proponent of promotion and relegation. I am a realist about the United States Soccer Federation and Major League Soccer. I don't believe there will ever be promotion between USL and MLS. But no, I'm very excited about it. I have talked about this in other town halls and other interviews and stuff. MLS took an Apple TV broadcast deal and went behind a pretty expensive paywall. When they did that, a reaction to it was USL doing the exact opposite and getting in front of more eyes for less money. Promotion and relegation is another way for USL to differentiate itself from MLS, which is I worked for an MLS club. I'm an Apple TV MLS season pass subscriber, as much as I'd like to take that $80 back. But differentiating ourselves as a league from MLS, I think, is a really good thing. The fear of relegation is, I'm not scared of relegation. We're gonna be fine. But no, I think it's a differentiating factor, and it makes every game exciting. And while we're competing for championships, when we go to, you know, the team's stadiums where they're competing to stay up, it'll be a good atmosphere still. I don't expect us to be competing to stay up. Yeah.
Are you going to see Lionel Messi up in Toronto on Saturday?
I am not. I got other stuff going on. Are you?
That's the debate. I know he made the trip, but if he plays or not, that's another question.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have tickets, or would you try to?
I do not have tickets yet because I didn't want to buy them and have them at this point. So
yeah.
I'm getting
some negative.
Did they win yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I. There's not much riding on this game anymore for them. So no, I will not be going. And actually, this is shocking to me. I haven't been to Toronto for a single game this year. And I like Toronto FC games. The QEW is a disaster. I have no interest in sitting in the QEW from Hamilton to Toronto, or probably further south to Toronto. You can take the GO train. No, it's still not easy, but that's an answer, absolutely. But I love that Toronto can't sort out their traffic because I truly believe that if we put a good professional soccer product on the field here, those in Southern Ontario, those around the Niagara region, are going to have a much easier time getting across the Peace Bridge or Rainbow Bridge or whatever it is to get here than they are to get up to TFC. I've built my life around soccer. I've built my career around soccer. There's everything. I haven't been to a single game in Toronto this year. It's too difficult. It's too tough. But keep an eye on Messi. You know, if he does that, that'd be worth that. To see him live would be worth it. They did just clinch the Player Shield, though, or whatever. What do they call it? Supporter Shield in MLS? Player Shield is USL, which got one in my living room too, actually. If you want to see it sometime. Kate, anything? All right. Well, we are at an hour, so that's pretty good timing. I wish I hadn't ended on a ridiculous cocky statement. I would love one more question. Yeah, good.
This comes from a fan at Omaha.
You're on TV.
Yeah.
I'll have a question after this.
Okay, good.
You go first, and then I'll wrap up this one.
Just thinking about the teams that were here in the past and how they were successful before kind of the age of media. Is it any different for you, or I guess you have endless capabilities, but to be able to market this to not just Buffalo as a city, but Niagara Falls to Rochester even, and how expanding you can be and just getting people to know about this?
Yeah. We actually were, Martin Group's working on it. I want to do one of these in Niagara Falls, Ontario, or maybe Port Colborne, St. Catharines, something like that. All right. These guys are going to tell me where to do it. Martin Group will set it up. But yes, I plan on doing one of these within the next few months up there. The Bills and Sabres draw a significant portion of their tickets from Southern Ontario. We need to be doing the same, but it's only going to happen if we're getting up there, marketing ourselves correctly, and showing that we want to be a club that's representative of the region, not just the city of Buffalo, but the region. From that standpoint, absolutely. Our regional broadcast and streaming rights extend pretty far, so I think we'll be able to reach some markets that way as well. But yeah, if you look at on a map where we are from a professional soccer standpoint, we're on a bit of an island right now. There are teams regionally nearby at the pro level, but we're going to be able to draw from a pretty significant radius around the city, as long as we do it properly, as long as we do our jobs right. Thrilled it was brought up. I'm not going to make any commitments tonight to that, but that was in my first. So when I got to Omaha, I started the town hall program there as well, which they hadn't been doing prior to my arrival. And the first promise I made was that if that year or any year we hosted the league final, I would do a Bills Mafia style jump through a table. In my full suit prior to that game, and fortunately that did happen that year, and I don't think I got enough height or something. The table did more damage to me than I did to the table, so I'm not thrilled about that prospect. But if it's gonna sell some tickets, let's check on the table. Yeah. They didn't know what they were doing in Omaha. The table was tiny. The table was way too small. I needed more surface area to get through it, and a little more height. Thank you. That was an important question. Anything else before we wrap? All right, well, thank you all so much. I'm going to be around. I got a few more beers in me tonight, so let's talk. Let's hang out. Please fill out the survey. Encourage others to do the same. Take a koozie. Take a scarf if you want one. And just thank you so much. If this happens, when this happens, it's going to be because of rooms like this. And it's going to be for rooms like this. So I really appreciate it. And I'll be around. Let's talk. Thank you.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.